Speaking on this program is Doris Hughes.
Tomorrow may be too late. The story goes of a farmer who was awakened when his clock struck 17 times. And his wife said, "What time is it?" He said, "It's later than it's ever been before." And indeed, you know, it's later than it's ever been before, isn't it? Time moves by so swiftly. As someone has said, today is the tomorrow that we worried about yesterday. Did you ever notice that every time that friends get together and they examine, maybe they look over old photographs and old photograph albums, and they talk about the memories, and it seems that such expressions come up, such expressions as, "Time flies, doesn't it?" Or such expressions as, "Has it been that long?" Or maybe, "It seems but yesterday." Have you ever visited a place maybe years later that you once knew as a child, and as you visited the place, it seemed that things were much smaller and they were so much different from the way that you remembered them because you remember them as a child. And then when you do see them, you see how you've grown or how that you've developed, and tears come to your eyes as you think of the floods of memories that come to your soul. And indeed, you know, time moves so swiftly. The Bible tells us to boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what that a day may bring forth. You know, the fact of putting off is, it's not only, as we would call it, a thief of time, it's also the thief of souls. When we put off, we often put off until tomorrow or the day after tomorrow what we should have been doing today. There is no emphasis on tomorrow in the Scriptures. The total emphasis is always on today. Jesus says, "I must do the works of my Father while it is today. For the night cometh when no man can work." The Bible says today, if you'll hear His voice, He says, "Harden not your heart." The Bible says, "Behold, today is the day of salvation. Now is accepted time." You know, the Bible, it places great emphasis on obedience today. Anyone that ever obeyed Christ always did it at a specific place, at a specific time, on a specific day. Now, in the Scriptures, when the people, like on the day of Pentecost, or the Ethiopian eunuch, or Cornelius, or Saul of Tarsus, or Lydia, the Philippian jailer, when they obeyed Christ, they did it at a specific place, on a specific day, and a specific time. And you know, when that specific time, place, and day was, it was a now, N-O-W. Nobody ever obeys Christ in the past or in the future. It's always in the present. It's always now, N-O-W. You know, the Bible speaks of the brevity of life. There's 18 different metaphors of speech that are used in the Scripture to describe the brevity of life. Job says, "Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. He comes forth like a flower and continues not." In other words, he's like the grass. He withers away. The book of James tells us, "For what is your life? It's but a vapor that appears just for a while, and then it just vanishes away." The Bible says, "There is but a step between me and death." And who knows, you and I, just to be fair, be plain, we may not live another day. It says that 5,000 souls, Americans, will die by midnight tonight. We don't know, but perhaps that we will be one on that number. Maybe the funeral ambulance that will carry my body to its final resting place has already been fueled up and waiting for me. Maybe for you. Maybe I'll be the next one in the funeral procession that we saw going by the other day. The Bible says that our days on earth are but a shadow. We all fade just as a leaf does. Of all the 6,000 promises of God that He's made in the Bible to us, He never promises us tomorrow. You know the song, "Tomorrow's sun may never rise to bless thy long deluded sight. This is the time, O then be wise. Be saved, O tonight." You know, we may not even live to see the midnight hour of night. In Luke, the 12th chapter, you remember the rich fool, he had planned for years ahead. He's getting ready to pull down his barns and to build up bigger barns to store up all of his goods as though that he was going to live forever and forever. And God called him a fool. this, that, your soul will be required of you. Then who shall these things be that you've laid up for many years? The Bible teaches us then that it may become too late tomorrow to obey God. It may become too late tomorrow to be saved. It may be too late tomorrow for even for an unfaithful child of God to be restored. You know, putting off or delaying is a thief of every productive thing. We need to remember the philosophy of the phrases of make hay while the sunshine is one of them is. Or strike while the iron is hot is another. Now, I'm sure that most of you have heard those statements. But it's true in the spiritual as well in the physical realm. Don't delay. That's the message. Don't put off things that are of utmost importance. You know, in the Old Testament, when Absalom rebelled against King David, a man by the name of Ahithophel, he had been David's counselor, but he sided with Absalom, and he told Absalom, he says, you ought to attack now while David is reeling from defeat. But there was a man by the name of Hushai, who was another counselor of Absalom, but who was secretly in his heart working for King David. He said, no, wait, delay. Gather your strength and your forces, then you'll be able to attack then. Well, Absalom took Hushai's advice. He waited and he waited and he waited. Ahithophel, because his advice was refused, he went out and committed suicide because he saw that actually Absalom's path was suicidal. Because the long waiting gave David a time to regather his troops. And finally, when they did fight, Absalom was defeated. So it's never wise, you see, to put off until tomorrow what needs to be done today. You know, when you're in high school, it's so easy to put off doing your outside reading or doing your term papers or your studying, your quizzes and exams and what have you. Until finally, it's just too late. Perhaps we'd hope for A's, but we wound up getting F's. It was a time to do our work. It was a time to prepare for the future. And the Bible teaches us that we must prepare for the coming of the Son of God as well. You know, sometimes when we put things off, we just end up waiting too late. In April of the year of 1862, at the Battle of Shiloh or Pittsburgh Landing, the Southern troops were driving the Northern troops into the Tennessee River. But as the evening approached, there was a general by the name of P.T. Beauregard, and he called for a halt in advance of the troops and would wait until the next day to finish off the attack. In the middle of the night, a general by the name of Don Buell arrived by boat with fresh federal troops. He reinforced the northern troops. And when morning came, then General Beauregard started the attack. But he was facing a different enemy, though. He could not drive them into the river. Instead, they drove him back. And Beauregard had to retreat to Corinth. And the Battle of Shiloh was lost. It was lost because one man made the decision to wait one day. You know how true it is. One day may be too late in our relationship with God. I believe that 90% of all the people who die without God really intend to obey God someday. But someday is not on a calendar, is it? Sometime is not on a watch. And somewhere is, well, it's not on a map. Now, anyone who obeys God must do so at a specific place, at a specific time, at a specific hour. The story is told in the legions of the damned, among the spirits of the underground, of the underworld, that the king of the evil spirits, he spoke from the throne and he said, who will go to earth and who will persuade men to accomplish the ruin of their souls? One of the dark spirits volunteered to go, and upon being asked how he was going to accomplish this work, he replied, well, I'll persuade men that there is no God. Satan answered back and said, that will never do, for you can never persuade the majority of men that there is no God. They make the denial, but down deep in their hearts, they will not believe it. Then there was a second dark spirit that he came forward and he said, I'll go and I'll persuade them that there is no heaven. No, replied Satan, that won't do, for men expect a future life. And then there was a third demon. He came forward with this plan. He said, I'll persuade them that there is no hell. No, replied the devil. Your plan will not work. You cannot persuade men that there is no hell. There's too much suffering in the world that needs to be righted. It was then that the fourth dark spirit came forward and he whispered, he said, I'll go and I'll tell them that there's no hurry. Tomorrow will be time enough. Go, said the devil. and my presence is with you. If you're one that you're not living faithful, don't you be one that waits too late. You obey God, or you need to be restored while you have time and while you have the opportunity to do so. Now, someone has prepared a very interesting timetable, and in it, it made a mathematical parallel of a lifespan with a 24-hour day. And if studied, it will cause you to rather serious reflection about it and see what you've accomplished or left unaccomplished. If you're 15 years of age, it's 8:51 a.m. If you're 20 years of age, then it's 11:08. If you're at the age of 25, then it's 12:25 p.m. If you're 30, it's 1:25 p.m. If you're 35, it's 2:59 p.m. If you're 40, it's 4:16 p.m. If you're 45, it's 5:43 p.m. If you're 50, it's 6:50 p.m. If you're 55, it's 8:08 p.m. If you're 60, it's 10:11 p.m. If you're 70, you're approaching midnight. Now let me ask you, when the bell, as we say, when the bell tolls for you at the midnight hour of death, on which side of God's judgment stand will you be? What are you doing with your life? It's later than you think, isn't it? You know, the Bible all through teaches us the folly of delay. The Scripture places great emphasis upon obeying God in the present. In other words, in the now, where you are. The Bible says today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart. The Bible never commands any action to be done in the future or the morrow, because God has never promised us another sunrise, has He? Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what the day may bring forth. You know, with the passing of time, our hearts many times become hardened sin. Maybe that's why that the Old Testament says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Because God knows that as time moves on, it gets harder and harder for us to change in life. That's what the Bible says in Hebrews, the 6th chapter, in verses 4 through 6. Of those folks who were once saved and in proper relationship with God, but they've left the faith, they denied Christ, and then it's impossible for them to turn back and to be saved. The Scripture speaks of those who get so hardened in sin that they become past feeling. That's in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, and verse 19. It's kind of like a shot of spiritual Novocaine in the soul that has no sensitivity anymore. You know, I remember as a child, when summer came and when school was out, approximately 3 months, all us kids, we always looked forward to taking off our shoes and never putting them on again, unless we went to town, shopping, or church. And after we had gone barefooted all summer, we could take a pin and we could stick in the bottom of our feet and it would not feel a thing because of the calluses. Now, at the first of summer, our feet were real tender. But 3 months later, they were hardened. Now, isn't that what happens to souls? Sometimes we're touched by the gospel. We're pricked in our hearts, and as they were on the day of Pentecost, as we read about those people. We want to obey Christ, but when we delay and we put it off, our hearts become hardened, and we can no longer be touched by the gospel. And every sermon that we hear, if we don't make a response of faith and obedience to it, then we make a negative response of delay, of putting it off, of disobedience. And it just makes us in a category to be farther and farther away from obeying God. That's what it amounts to. You know, we sow a thought and we reap an act. We sow an act, we reap a habit. We sow a habit and we reap a character. We sow a character and we reap a destiny. It's all made up of little thoughts that made us what we are. And everybody in eternity will be what they are as a result of these little things they did or they did not do in response to God's will. Now, if I gave you a sheet of paper, you could just easily tear that sheet of paper in two, couldn't you? But if I gave you a stack of 1,000 sheets of paper, the strongest man in the world couldn't tear those. If I gave you one little sewing thread, you could easily pull it apart, couldn't you? But if I gave you enough thread for the size of a very thick rope, the strongest man in the world couldn't pull it apart. The Bible says that our consciences, they get seared as with a hot iron, which means that they no longer have any sensitivity about them. It's like looking at the hands of a blacksmith, a man who handles hot metals and works around fire and coals all day long. And his hands are seared over and they become beyond feeling. The Bible says 3 times in Romans, the 1st chapter, that God gives certain people up to their lust and to their sin. The Bible says in 2 Peter, "Lest some have eyes full of adultery, that they cannot cease from sin." You know, as we grow older and older, God's only begotten Son becomes God's forgotten Son. That's the way it is. The story is told of a very poor farmer in Texas who struck it rich. He had oil on all his property that he owned. And then instantly he became a multimillionaire. And he described his life. He said, "When I was poor," he said, "I wanted to give money to the Lord to help the Lord's work, but when I had the desire, I had no money." He went on to say, "Now that I'm rich, I have the money, but," he says, "I have no desire." You see, the way it is, our lives become the result of moment-by-moment decisions. In our hearts, they become hardened to Christ when we do not do what we know that we ought to do. I recently read of a preacher who knew a young man at the age of 26. And he told about the young man as he came upon a group of people who were baptizing, and he wanted to be baptized in the river there where they were, but because they had a very peculiar theology, they demanded that he go back to the church and be voted on and be accepted before he could be baptized by them. Well, the young man made up his mind that he just wouldn't be baptized. At the age of 89, some 60, 70 years later, this preacher was telling a story, and he came across this man and urged him to obey the Lord. And the only thing that he could keep saying was, "I'll chance it, I'll chance it, I'll chance it." The preacher went on to say that later on the man went to the hospital with a sickness. And in the hospital, the teaching that the preacher had given him, well, it took root. And he called for the nurse to go get the preacher to baptize him. And 4 days before he died, this man was immersed in the name of Christ, obeyed the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, this man had become hardened with the passing of time. The sickness and the reality of facing death face to face brought him to the reality of his senses again, and then he obeyed the Lord. The Bible says, "The sun will laugh at God." Matthew, the 25th chapter. We read there about Noah in the days of Noah, that they were marrying and giving in marriage, and they were eating and drinking, and knew it not until the flood came and destroyed them all. You know, today, people are entering into life and into careers, homes and the jobs, and they're making great plans for the future. They're making their so-called IRAs and their retirements and their Social Security benefits, trying to think about all this, but they're not thinking about God. You know, we prepare for this life. Many times we forget about eternity, don't we? As we close the lesson tonight, as we extend the invitation of Christ, you know, most people plan someday to obey God. Now let me plead with you. Don't be like Felix. You remember in the Bible? Felix said, "When I have a convenient season, then I'll call for you." You know, the way that it is, the devil will see to it that you'll never have that convenient season. And I don't care who it is. There's not a person in the world that wants to go to hell. The four saddest words ever written are these four: "It might have been. It might have been." Don't let "too late, too late, too late." Don't let those words, as we would say, be written on your tombstone. Someone has written these words: "The clock of time is wound but once. No man has the power to tell just when the hands will stop at late or early hour. To lose one's soul is bad indeed. To lose one's health is more. But to lose one's soul is such a loss that no one can restore." How true. Today is somebody's last 24 hours. No excuse will stand in judgment. If you need to obey the gospel, if you're not a Christian, then you do. As we search our New Testament, we find God's plan of salvation. It's put there for you to obey as you hear the Word of God. So then faith cometh to hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Need to repent of our sins, confess the name of Christ, be baptized for the remission of our sins. If unfaithfulness is in your life, and you're the one to make that decision, you know whether or not that you've lived a life of faithfulness to your Lord and Master, or if it's a life of unfaithfulness. The Bible tells us that we need to confess our faults one to another and to pray one for another that you may be healed. Through your confession, through prayer, that God's always ready to restore you, to recognize you as a faithful child of His.